Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
7:14 now on this Tuesday morning, October 29th, 2 days before Halloween, 1 week before the election, and no cool weather in sight. Sorry. Highs going to be in the lower 80s all the way through next Thursday. Maybe a chance for showers on Halloween, but not a washout or anything like that. But thankfully, no fog this morning. Jeremy Alford joins us, editor-publisher of La Politics Weekly. How you doing, Jeremy?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning.
Governor's in South Korea, I think. Is that right or not? Or was?
That's correct. Yeah.
Did he call for the special session from South Korea, or was that done before? Does it matter?
No. I believe he issued the call on Saturday. That's when lawmakers started to review that agenda.
All right. Let's talk about what is in the call. Because first of all, I just want to go back for people that are not completely familiar with it. A call is not like, you know, an informal invitation. Hey, stop on by. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. A call is tell us what a call is.
A call is the official agenda for a special session, and lawmakers cannot introduce anything that isn't on that agenda. Anything that they debate or file in terms of legislation had to fit within the parameters of the items in the call. And for this item, the governor issued a call that has 23 different items.
And what are some of the items that are in it, Jeremy?
So, you know, the session was supposed to be primarily tax-focused and really targeting Article 7 of the Constitution, which is our finance and taxation article. But it looks like there are a handful of other non-tax-related items in here in regard to the judicial branch, juvenile courts, crime, vocational education, property insurance. And I think at least some of this stuff was probably added to the call to help lawmakers kind of swallow the medicine of the bigger pieces of the call. And so the big focus, Tommy, is going to be a plan that would lower corporate and individual income tax rates while broadening the state sales tax structure. It's supposed to be an increase in take-home pay for every citizen of Louisiana, but there's a lot more to it than that. In order to pay for these massive tax changes, the governor has proposed rolling back a lot of popular tax incentive and tax break programs like the movie industry tax program. He's also looking at significant cuts to the budget. So this is the most aggressive, if passed, this will be the most aggressive tax overhaul we've seen in 5 decades at least. And if this package does pass muster with the legislature, the major pieces, particularly the ones dealing with Article 7 we were just talking about in the Constitution, will go before voters.
So this is very complicated stuff, to say the least, is it not?
Absolutely. And it's, you know, it doesn't stop there. There's also proposals to try to convince local governments to do something different with the inventory tax credit, which is kind of like a third rail of local politics. And we'll have to see if local officials come to the table on that. I know a lot of parish presidents are concerned about it.
I know one thing that business people have told me that it is important to them is centralized tax collection. Because does the call address that at all?
There are kind of there's definitely enough room in there to address the renewal of a 0.45% state sales tax that was supposed to expire but is going to be continued. And then also there's kind of enough room in here to look at broadening the base, meaning applying the sales tax to different services that aren't currently taxed right now, like certain areas of digital commerce, but it's much broader than that. In terms of centralized sales tax collections, Tommy, I have to go through it one more time.
No,
but I'm
almost positive. I didn't mean to catch you flat-footed, but I know
I do not believe that that's going to be part of this.
I didn't think it was, and I know a lot of business people have said that's one of the more important things to them. So I wonder why it wouldn't be in there. Tell me about changes in the judicial branch, juvenile procedures and crime, and vocational education.
I'm not quite sure what those items are going to be in terms of legislation. We're still trying to figure this out. Look, Tommy, I spoke with committee chairman this weekend who told me that some of these items were completely unexpected. So, you know, Jeff Landry has not yet issued kind of model legislation or anything like that for these items. So we're just kind of waiting to see what's going to be filed for the session.
All right, so let me ask you this, Jeremy, if I can just jump in for a second before we go to the break. The legislators have to report in special session now that the governor's called them? They don't get to vote on that, right?
No, that's right. Lawmakers can call themselves into a special session as well, or the governor can call them in, but either way, they have to go into session.
But they don't have to pass anything. That's what they go to Baton Rouge.
No, if lawmakers want to go to Baton Rouge and adjourn with finality on the first day, they could most certainly do that. But I expect they're going to be in this for the long haul.
All right, let me take a break. We'll talk about what is the length of the session? It's specified, right?
It's going to be the 6th to the 26th, I believe.
So that's 25th. Days. 20 days or so, 19 days. That's a lot of stuff that has, like, you know, chemical reactions where this causes that, can affect that, relates to this, and then that can cause that to happen. If this doesn't, then that does. And it just seems like that's a lot of time to get this all together. But we'll get your take when we come back. What you're hearing from the legislators. We're talking to Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. It had been rumored, but the governor did formally call for a special session on tax reform. We'll talk more when we come back. 721 Traffic Now.
Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
WWL. 726 and a half, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. Governor Landry formally called for a special session on tax reform starting November 6th, run through November 25th, I think it is, which would be the Monday before Thanksgiving, Jeff. What are you hearing from Jeremy, I'm sorry, I don't know why I called you Jeff. What are you hearing from legislators about the timing of this? Because they all have businesses. A lot of them have businesses, law practices to run, right?
Sure. And they also have to be in Baton Rouge when they're in session, and they know that. You know, these special sessions, just like a regular session, are limited in length. So, you know, that there have been some lawmakers kind of remark offhandedly that, you know, they have a very short period of time to accomplish a very substantive task. So, you know, on one hand, I think supporters want it that way. They want to move this through quickly. They don't want any
speed
bumps.
Right.
And well, you know, especially the Article 7 constitutional amendment, it's going to be a very lengthy piece of legislation.
And recap again, Jeremy, if you would, Article 7.
So one of the big products of this session is supposed to be a massive constitutional amendment that would rewrite Article 7 of the state constitution, which is our finance and taxation article. A lot of these ideas about the income tax and broadening the sales tax base is going to have to be done via the constitution with voter approval. And so that's going to be a massive piece of legislation, maybe one of the biggest lawmakers have debated in terms of taxes. I think some of these bills are already nearing 100 pages in length. So the clock's going to be ticking. But, Tommy, you know, there have been sessions in the past where lawmakers did not finish the work that they were supposed to get finished, and they simply called themselves back into session to continue that work. So it's not as if lawmakers won't have any options should they need more time.
I guess what I'm wondering is this, and I hate to use the word end run, but the governor wanted a constitutional convention, didn't get it. You talk about the importance of Article 7. Is this, in a way, a mini-constitutional convention, or at least changing a substantive part of the Constitution the governor was looking for with the convention?
So initially, the governor wanted a constitutional convention. He couldn't get that. Then there was an idea about going into a special session just to address Article 7 in late summer. That didn't happen. So now we're here. It's the art of compromise. We'll have to see if lawmakers are along for the ride. Right now, make no mistake, the Landry administration is driving this train. They have set the agenda. They set the call. And now we have to see what lawmakers want to do. And senators still have a lot of questions.
This could be up to Richard Nelson to make this understandable, explainable, and then you got the political side of it as well, right?
That's right. It's Richard Nelson, the governor, and many other people.
So you got the practical side of it as far as what's going to actually happen, and then you got the political side of it as in what can I give you in exchange for you supporting this. Am I mistaken in anything there?
I think so. And somewhere in between, they'll find a compromise and maybe produce something.
It's politics. That's the way government works. Thank you, Jeremy. Appreciate your time. We'll talk to you again soon. Jeremy Alford, editor and publisher of La Politics Weekly. You can follow him on Twitter at, as I open this up, La Politics Now. 7:30, when we come back, we're going to talk to Joe Geruso about the Wisner Trust, and we'll recap that. Right now, it's time for WWL First News. It is currently 7:47, 13 until 7. Tommy Tucker, WWL. And we're going to talk to Joe Geruso in a couple of minutes, New Orleans City Council member, about the recent ruling on the Wisner Trust and get the latest on what's going on with that. J.P. Morrell and said that he's going to give no quarter if the heirs are not willing to settle. So we'll see what he has to say. I know I Googled Monica Hoff Wallace Wisner Trust, and you'll see the second result. What is the Wisner Land Trust? And it tells you what Monica Hoff Wallace, an expert in this, told us. But we don't have to do all of that. We'll instead talk to Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member now, to find out. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Tommy. Good morning. How are you?
All right. Your fellow council member, J.P. Morrell, said if they are smart, talking about the heirs, they will concede. If not, we will give them no quarter. And I appreciate that pirate talk from J.P. I do. I like that.
Yeah, well, I think we're tired of litigation.
Makes me want to call J.P. just a pirate, Morrell.
Well, but I think J.P. and the rest of us are tired of litigating this case.
It's crazy.
And it's been unnecessary. It is crazy. And look, Monica is an excellent professor, and I've listened to her afterwards explain the history of Wisner. And I don't know if I can do justice to her explanation.
In a couple of minutes, if you can, Joe, try for people that are just tuning in and don't know, perhaps.
Sure. So Edward Wisner was a person who lived in the city of New Orleans, accumulated a great deal of wealth, and in 1914 placed all of this land into a trust that was to generate income for beneficiaries for 100 years. And then ultimately, the trust was to expire 100 years later in 2014. And that land wound up including places in Jefferson Parish, but most importantly, what has ultimately become Port Fouchon, where we now do so much with oil and gas in that area. And the corpus or the body of that trust is probably north of $100 million. Over the years, the percentages of the beneficiaries, that's the people who received the income, changed. And so the city has a sizable amount. The heirs wound up having a sizable amount. And then Tulane Charity Hospital and Salvation Army had an amount. And so for 100 years, all of this is going forward. And then in 2014, the trust expired. And after that, Mayor Landrieu brought a lawsuit to really start winding down the trust itself. And the Fourth Circuit, which is the intermediate appellate court based here in New Orleans, has ruled the trust is dead. That is no question whatsoever. It is over with, finished, kaput, done. And for reasons we don't quite understand, the trust kept on existing as if it were still going forward. And in 2020, Mayor Cantrell signed a ratification agreement extending that trust indefinitely. Now, first of all, you cannot do that as a matter of law. It is legally impossible. You, just like you cannot resuscitate a dead person, you cannot revive a trust that is dead. It is absolutely illegal, improper, null, and it also violated the council's powers on the disposition of a movable property. The council did not know about all of that, and so we tried for a little while to see what we could do, if there's a way to negotiate all of this, and we couldn't find one. So we ultimately sued the city of New Orleans, the mayor as one of the trustees, and the income beneficiaries who no longer should receive anything of value from the trust, to make sure that it is 100% clear the ratification agreement was null and void, and to return the entire corpus to the city of New Orleans, which the citizens rightfully own now and nobody else. And also importantly, to stop the disbursements that were happening on a yearly basis to all of those other entities, whether they're the heirs or the universities. And candidly, we're disappointed that it's taken this long with all of these groups to do that. Now, the heirs we know are going to fight us for a very long time. This is mailbox money to them. It's money that they get on a regular basis. They've gotten it for 10 years beyond the expiration of the trust. What's a little bit more disappointing, and hopefully we will wrap up soon, is the universities, who are supposed to be our partners here in the city, who've continued to fight us on this and link arms with the heirs when they ought to be joined at the hip with the city and all of this. The heirs and the other entities fought the council and said we were not a legal entity who could sue in this regard. And ultimately, the Louisiana Supreme Court said, no, that's wrong. The council is obviously a juridical body and has a right to bring a lawsuit here. But I'll also say this, Tommy, there are a lot of really strong nuggets in that opinion that say flat out that the trust has expired, and strongly suggests, not a ruling, but strongly suggests the council is going to prevail on all of its legal theories ultimately.
Where does the mayor stand on all of this, Joe? I'm just curious before we run out of time.
Yeah, so the mayor has been very quiet in all of this. Mm-hmm. They have not really fought, but they've not really joined the council either. And it seems like the city's position is, we're okay with our income beneficiary position, and we're okay having the entire corpus, but we just view that as a lose for the city. The bottom line is the city is entitled to everything, and why do we want to be paying these heirs, most of whom don't live in New Orleans, money that they're not entitled to?
In terms of mailbox checks, I get those, Joe. Occasionally I get one from my movie career. The last residual check I got was $28 from my appearance in the George Foreman movie. So I know what it's like to have that mailbox money coming in. It's
nice. This is more than $28.
No, I understand that. I'm just saying I wish I had some mailbox money coming in. More than $28.
I understand selfishly the idea that you want money forever and ever and ever,
but it's over,
and not have to work for it. Who doesn't want to work less and make more?
But in this case, they got it, but it's over, right?
Well, that's exactly right. Well, not only did they get it and it's over, they got it for about another 7 or 8 years after it was over. And that, I think, is to what is so galling to us, is that, look, you got this money for 100 years. Let's not, it wasn't 5 years, it wasn't 10 years, it wasn't 25 years, 100 years. That is three generations at least of your descendants who got this money. And then after the trust ended, you continue to get money for almost a decade, if not almost as much of a decade afterwards. And that's the part I think that's so perturbing to us, is it ended, it's over, and you're still trying to get these funds that rightfully belong to the city.
Seems like me.
You live here.
To the heirs, you got 10 more years than you should have. If you don't have to pay it back, now's the time to quit. Thank you, Joe. I appreciate your time as always.
Thank you. Take care.
Remember, ask no quarter, give no quarter. Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. 756, 4 till 8, traffic now, WWL.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.